Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
You know, we're talking about a bunch of weird patents today, but have you heard about the guy that tried to patent dead cows?
I did not.
He was trying to call it patent leather. Do you get it?
It's a stranger still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we talk about the things that you wanted to know about the things that you use and stuff. I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. How's it going, man?
Horrible, as always. How about you?
The world is on fire. Dude, remember when Australia was on fire?
Yeah. Like, remember when people...
4 years ago?
Yeah. It was...
7 months
maybe,
ago.
Maybe... Yeah. The time is a little bit delusional lately. I'm not sure what's what. And I feel like it was just last week or 5 years ago that people were planking. And that was
it was 5 years ago people were planking.
Yeah. Remember nobody shaking hands? Anymore.
Dude, you remember like talking to people other than to record a podcast with them? I don't.
Yeah. In real life.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, in real life.
Unreal.
You know what else is unreal?
Machines?
These 10 little inventions that I pulled up from the salt of the internet, and I put them all together, and I found 10 patents that were just so ridiculous. And I got this idea because one of the people I watch on YouTube, William Osman, he makes a bunch of awesome, really bad robots and stuff. He started posting videos of patents that he had found on TikTok, and I was like, you know what, let's do a whole episode about it, because some of these are really fun. Before we get into it, I just want to say I'm going to have you for the audio experience. We're going to have a slideshow that is going to go through all of the different patents, but I'm going to have you describe it for our listening audience and then try to guess what the invention is. But for those who are visual learners, this would be a good opportunity to mention that we're streaming this. So come see our stream. And if you can't make the stream, we'll try to put it on YouTube if I ever get around to it.
No, we will. We're gonna step our game up a little bit on that. We got some stuff down the road, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh. Spoiler.
Oh. So, John, I'm going to share my screen with you here if I can. Let's talk about some patents, shall we?
Yeah.
We've got, the first one we've got here is an oldie but a goodie. If you've been around Reddit or you've been around probably some parts of Facebook or Tumblr, you've probably seen or heard of this. It is a little not safe for work, but it is just a drawing. So, John, if you would, please describe our first patent of the evening.
Okay. So, kind of looks like, speaking of tumbling, a big giant rotation device with a bed. There's a woman laying down.
Uh-huh.
Scantily clad, may I say, and she's got a little bit of a net underneath the place where a baby would emerge. Maybe like a little bit of a catcher's net or a goalie. And from what this looks like, I think that whole contraption is going to spin, Nicholas, and I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it.
So I'm curious to know why you think it's going to spin.
Well, there is two figures. There's a face down view or a top down view, kind of like God looking down in disapproval.
Yeah.
And then the second view is a side view. And it has an industrial like. It looks like those things they put astronauts in to spin them in, you know?
Do you want to take a guess as to what this invention was used for then?
I'm going to say I'm going to go with exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
You spin her up real good.
Uh-huh.
That baby comes out. You go, la, 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 and the baby's entered into the world a winner right off the bat because it already scored a goal.
Well, John, tired of having to use your muscles to have a baby? Want to feel like what it's like to be an astronaut in training? Well, why not kill two birds with one stone with the apparatus for facilitating the birth of a child by centrifugal force?
Mm-hmm. I'm one for one.
Yeah. This is U.S. Patent 321-6423A. It was filed by George and Charlotte Belonsky in 1963. The application for the patent was granted in 1965, and unfortunately, it expired in 1982. But the good news is, now anyone can give this invention a shot.
Hit up your local playgrounds, ladies.
I want to read the an excerpt from the patent filing here and just get your hot take on it. It is known that due to natural anatomical conditions, the fetus needs the application of considerable propelling force to enable it to push aside the constricting vaginal walls, to overcome the friction of the uterine and vaginal surfaces, and to counteract the atmospheric pressure opposing the emergence of the child. In the case of a woman who has a fully developed muscular system and has had ample physical exertion all through the pregnancy, as is common with all more primitive peoples, nature provides all the necessary equipment and power to have a normal and quick delivery. This is not the case, however, for more civilized women who often do not have the opportunity to develop the muscles needed in confinement.
Especially the quarantine when the baby birthing gym is closed, I guess.
What? I know. We're no longer civilized. This is,
if there's anything worse than giving birth to a child or more painful, how about doing it while spinning?
Yeah, but you don't have to do any work.
Except for try not to pass out from exhaustion. The terror.
I was gonna say,
what's that on her face?
That's the top of the machine. There's nothing on her face. It's just the top down view. Maybe I can convince you that this is more comfortable than previously thought.
Does it have an animation on the end where if it spins fast enough, it looks like it's moving?
No, I wish it did, but the woman
even
here, the woman here is lying on a an iron slab that's bolted into concrete, and it's hooked up to a sort of a motor, and that's what you see at the top here, and some counterweights. That's what you see hanging over it here. She is on a cotton mattress, but as you can tell by this illustration, it is like wafer thin. There's handles that she can hold on to, or the mother can hold on to, I should say. But the mother is strapped in for dear life. There's straps around her head here. There's straps around her torso. She also has a cast iron half girdle that goes around the lower half of the mother's body to ensure the safety of the
child. Cast iron half girdles. Not something I thought I'd hear today, but I'll tell you what, this is another reason that I'm hoping that our podcast grows. Yeah. And I'm glad that we're doing a little live stream, because when we get that Casper, sponsorship,
right. We can put it to something useful.
Excellent entry. Yeah. 1982. It's been expired. Let's bring that Casper and get it done.
Absolutely.
Know? Except Nicholas, does this run on electricity or is it diesel fuel? You got a good old motor in there.
Yeah, I don't think they specify. A lot of these patents keep that kind of stuff vague so that someone's not like, oh, well, you said gas, I'm going to make an electric motor. So then they can get around the patent. So they kind of keep it vague like that. But also,
power outage is bad, because then you got to bring all the nurses up to push. And they're just pushing the circle instead of telling the mother to push.
Like a playground, like you said. Mm-hmm. Opposite the mother's vagina, there is a net made of elastic and rope to catch the baby. You did, pardon the pun here, you did catch on to that. Once the baby goes into the net, it hits a mattress, a cotton mattress underneath it, that hits a switch that turns off the machine. So as soon as the baby is born, no more spinning. They estimate that...
Oh, good. So it's not manual. It's automatic.
Yeah. There's no human error here. And they estimate that at about 8 Gs, you should have a successful childbirth. I do want to point out that a human can typically stand no more than 9 Gs because the heart can no longer pump blood to the brain at that point. And you usually pass out, like a normal person like you or I would pass out at about like 5 Gs.
Yeah, I could see how this could also be used for constipation.
Yeah, who needs laxatives when you have the apparatus for facilitating poopage by centrifugal force?
Eloquent. Thank you for that sentence.
John, for our next one, I want you to describe our next invention for our audience here.
Okay.
This one, now, I've seen this one on Reddit as well. So I'm starting with a couple of easy ones to ease you into it. But what do we have here?
I'm going to say, first and foremost, this is a happy human. Mm-hmm. This person is enjoying their self right now.
Yes.
They are very well into their shorts. There's a lot
purchase.
Of style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know there are numbers pointing to everything, but I can't tell if that's a floral shirt or if those are actual plants. But
you know, that's a good question. I don't know.
You know, I'm going to say either way, it's benefiting me in my eyes and everyone around them.
Yeah.
So this is a person wearing like a looks like a backpack, except the backpack is entirely made up of tubes.
Yes.
And there's a little hamster
just
in
like
there,
the internet.
Just crawling around, going for a little stroll.
Yeah,
around the block. I'm going to say this is probably used for taking your hamster on a walk, but when it's too simple to just put him on a leash and you want to make everything harder for everyone involved.
Well, dude, have you ever tried to put a leash on a hamster? They just slip right out of those things. You can't just take it on a walk.
I've never thought of it that way. And maybe this is maybe you can enlighten to me as to how I could solve that problem with a dribble backpack.
Well, John, want to get picked on at school, but also want to show off your how much you love your hamsters? Well, then you're going to love the pet display clothing. This is the U.S. patent 5901666A. And we know that it is the cursed invention because it has 666 in it. It was filed by Bruce Belisle in 1997. And the application was granted in 1999. Well, again, I think this is a fortunate situation for us all. It expired in 2017 because they didn't renew their patent fees, I assume. And so, again, anyone, this is up for grabs. Go for it, man. I'd love to give a very in-depth analysis of this product, except it's literally just a vest that has hamster tunnels around it. It goes around your belly. It goes over your shoulders. It looks like a life preserver, but it's made out of plastic tubes. There is a belt. You can see here that...
Now, hold on. If we email this podcast to ourselves, it's copyrighted, right? So if we did want to double this up as a life preserver...
That'll hold up in court.
Okay.
Yeah. There are these little pockets on either side of this belt that is like the hub for the tubes, and you can use those to retrieve the hamster or drop food in there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the pet display clothing. But that's not all the love we're going to have for animals today. Our next invention here, John, will you please explain what this one looks like?
Boy, howdy, can I. Well, I'll tell you what, Nick. It looks like a poodle, okay? I'm going to say it's a poodle.
That's not part of the invention, I'll say. Let me just...
Okay. The poodle is not included. But if you do have a poodle or another dog, it looks like two toilet paper rolls that you strap on the either side of your dog's head, and you put its ears through it so it doesn't have the trouble of having ears bounce against its head when it runs.
So you think...
Or it can hear better.
You think this invention is for ear fatigue?
I can't tell if it's for ear fatigue or if it's a fashion statement.
I don't think it's a fashion statement.
Okay. Well, poog tails is what I'd call them.
Yeah? That's what you think this is called?
Poog tails. Or, dog tails is not as catchy. Why don't you hit me up with some explanation, fella?
Ugh, not again. Tired of feeding your dogs because every time you do, their ears get dirty? Well, not anymore, thanks to the Animal Ear Protectors. This is U.S. Patent 4233942A, filed by James D. Williams in 1979. The application was granted in 1980, and again, this expired in 1999 just due to the patent being old enough. Like you mentioned, this is basically two plastic toilet paper rolls that go through a long-haired, floppy-eared animal.
I think my mom nailed it because she said eating, and it does look like that's what's going on here. Although it sucks that someone got to the patent for the rubber band before this.
Yeah, I know.
And I guess that might hurt a dog, you know?
Right. So you can't put it in a bun. So this, your mother was 100% correct. I don't know where she got that from. But the idea is that not just dogs, the patent is clear to point that out. They say that even though the picture here is of a poodle, it shouldn't be limited to just poodles. It should be all animals. But it's meant to keep ears of animals, especially the long-haired dogs, from becoming soiled by the animal's food while the animal is eating. As a professional dog owner, I'm looking to you to see if that is a common problem, because I've never heard of that.
Let's see right now, Nicholas. I've got some dogs right here.
Okay. It better have floppy ears.
Yeah, he's got at least one.
Yeah, has he ever gotten his ears dirty with pet food while eating?
Try to eat this lemon.
That's
doesn't
your
seem
face.
To be a problem, Nicholas.
Yep, he's eating your face. So that's all I have on this one. It's pretty ridiculous. Like you said, there's other things like
clothing.
A rubber band, or you could just use toilet paper rolls.
Yeah, thank you, Wally.
Yeah.
Credit him in the show notes. The next, I'm trying to build up his IMDb profile.
Yeah, we got to boost his career on Instagram. John, the next one I have for you here, will you please explain what you're seeing here?
So this is a tough one because I have no idea what I'm seeing here. It looks like an upside down Tupperware. And there's okay. like a cutaway in a spot where it looks cracked. And
I think that's just part of the drawing. It's not supposed to be like actually cracked.
Okay. Maybe it keeps butter warm. It looks like those things you put over butter, but you really want to keep it safe. So it's got spots for screws.
Interesting. You don't want people stealing your butter again. Not after last yeah. Thanksgiving.
Not after last Thanksgiving, Uncle Frank.
Well, after a long day at the office, you don't you just want to take a pee in peace without having to support your head? Now it's a problem of the past, thanks to the forehead support apparatus.
Oh, wow.
This is U.S. Patent 6681419B1, filed by Eric D. Page in 2002. Seems way too recent. And the application was granted in 2004.
Now, Nicholas, this was after the invention of the album Millennium by Will Smith, right?
It was. You are correct.
Okay. So we can only go down from there, and I'm surprised that someone came up with something as creative and intuitive as that.
Yeah. The patent status is expired. It is fee-related. They didn't up their dues.
So that must be memory foam that I'm seeing, like a little cutaway.
Yeah, again, cutaway, it doesn't specify what it is. So let me back up a second, because the name still isn't very descriptive. Let's be a little bit more specific. According to the patent filing, a forehead support apparatus for resting a standing user's forehead against a wall above a bathroom commode or urinal or beneath a shower head. The apparatus includes a mounting member adapted for attachment.
Please refrain from using the word member during this conversation.
Or mounting. Attachment to an upright bathroom wall, either above the commode or urinal or below the shower head. So I put this on here for two reasons. Because
I guess you could use it for shower naps, too.
Right, yeah. Like, I'm not even
joking. Another reason Casper should sponsor this.
Yeah, we can make one of these things with Casper mattress material. So I put this on here, one, because I'm not joking when I say there's been times when I've stood at a urinal and I've wanted to rest my head on the wall. I don't know if that's a normal thing that men go through or people that use urinals. Secondly, I think that this is just hilarious now in the world of COVID-19. Here's another quote from the patent. It said, "Those who are tired and weary and find themselves in need of using a urinal or commode may find the time required to stand in an upright position excessively long and burdensome. At present, the only option for in any way relieving the stress and tension of a tired or depleted body is to simply place the forehead against the wall onto which the urinal or commode is positioned or attached."
So, now, Nick, what's the longest you've stood up for?
To pee?
Just to stand up.
I mean, I used to work retail, so it was like 8 hours at a time.
Okay. Well, according to LifeScience.com, most mammals take 21 seconds to pee.
Yeah.
And that's regardless of bladder size, because it's based off of the size of you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to risk getting forehead germs
right.
for 21 seconds.
Yeah.
Unless you pair this up with the second patent for the urinal bandana. Now, you're going to bring a couple of them with you because you don't want to reuse the same one.
Right.
But you're going to put on your disposable pee hat, and then you can lean your head up against that thing, no problem.
Yeah, but then you know, like there'd be a bunch of chads out there like, "You can't make me wear my forehead support apparatus bandana. You're infringing on my rights."
Yeah.
That got too real for me for a second.
And well, in that case, let's just throw some microchips in there so we could scan their brains and sell it to Google.
Every single forehead support apparatus uses 5G.
Yep.
So, yeah, you mentioned before it's got to be some sort of memory foam. Unfortunately, the patent doesn't specify what material it should be made out of, again, so that people don't skirt the patent laws.
You got to keep an option. Yeah. You got to keep your options available.
But they do mention it should be compressible. It should be, like, conforming, I guess, like a memory foam or something like that. The patent doesn't lay out any guidelines for sanitation, but it does include, I don't see it on this diagram, but they mentioned in the patent that it includes a space for disposable paper dispensing.
Hey, like a toilet cover.
Exactly. A seat cover for a toilet that you just put between your head and the apparatus to keep those germs at bay.
It's become nighttime, so I turn my lights on.
Oh, thank you. The next one we have here, John, is
Beautiful.
Concerning. Well, okay. You say beautiful. I say concerning.
Some say concerning. Some say beautiful. I'm thinking, well, it's a box, right?
Yeah.
Picture a box, right?
Yeah.
So it's got a top, a bottom, a left side, a right side, yep. And then a other left side and a other right side, depending on the orientation. I just want to get into details. And then out that front, that box, there is a mouth with lips.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit a button on top and a tongue comes out.
Yeah.
I assume this is for seeing if food is too hot, practicing your kissing, and tasting things before you even try them so that it can connect to your smartphone and let you know if you'd like it or not.
AI, it's on the verge. All of those are incorrect, John.
Then I don't want it.
All right, well, maybe if you're tired of licking envelopes and have a very specific fetish, well, do we have the thing for you? Introducing the device for moistening the adhesive coating on postage stamps and envelopes.
Wow, what a mouthful.
Yeah. Oh, God. Come on, man. You can do better than that. This is U.S. Patent 4300473A, filed by Donald B. Pointer of Pointer Products Incorporated in 1980. The application was granted in 1981. It expired in the year 2000. So again, any of our listeners out there, if you want to make this very concerning device, you can go for it.
It looks like something that Pee Wee Herman would use, like just around the house.
Yeah, just to like clean or something. Before we
shout out to Hannah who got it. She nailed this one. She knew what it was immediately. Must be tired of licking stamps.
Yeah.
Let's team up and work on this invention with our group later.
Yeah. So this, I will say, this isn't an entirely stupid idea, because back in when we were in the office, when those were a thing, we had applicators to lick envelopes, but they looked more like bingo daubers than whatever this is. Initially, I put
bingo
it on...
Bingo daubers is the name of my new indie band, by the way.
What else would you call them? Is there a better name for them?
I don't know. Bingo Daubers is just the perfect Indian band. I probably sound just like what's his
Chuck.
What's his face?
Yeah.
No, what's that guy that sings like? Everybody loves him. He sings over acoustic songs. He's like the most indie person of all time. Who am I talking about, Nick? What's his name? Bingo Daubers. Check it out. Go to my
Instagram. So I initially found this because one article pointed out a line from the patent saying the applicator may be in the form of a human tongue and the closure may be in the form of human lips. But what the article framed that as was that they were trying to like patent your tongue and lips as a device for moistening the adhesive coating on postage stamps and envelopes. But in reality, what they meant is that what you see here is there's a tongue that looks like a human tongue, and then it's enclosed in what looks like human lips. The reason that it's on this list, though, is because just look at it, man.
Yeah, it's unreal. Oh, you know what's even cooler is there's patent 284752A under Jesus Christopher Christ. He got to this. It was for the human mouth and tongue, and that expired in 200 BC or AC. And so it's up for grabs. You can actually make a human mouth and sell it for profit these days, Nicholas. Did you know that?
That's how you, in 2019, that's the only way you can make money anymore. So, like you mentioned, there's a little button you hit on top. A tongue comes out after, like, lapping up some water. It looks like a sponge, not like an actual tongue. The other thing that the article I got this from didn't provide was the context that Donald Pointer's business was making novelty toys. So this is like straight up his alley. I don't think he ever used it, but this was his wheelhouse.
It's fun to draw at the very least, but here's the problem, Nick. Or not the problem for the creator, but for the consumer. You gotta get a subscription to get saliva to make sure that this thing is always up
like
and running.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's how you keep that money rolling in. Like every
you gotta get it mailed to your house, a little bottle of saliva. It could come in different flavors, you know?
So that you could eat it while the thing is licking stamps?
I mean, that's if you're practicing or you're kissing on it too. Because then, you know, who doesn't want a blue raspberry tongue or like a little sour apple? But then when you send it in the mail, people can go, it smells nice.
Yeah.
They must have been eating a warhead.
Yeah. So they don't like back in the day when like writing notes to your crush was a thing, you'd spray it with your perfume or your cologne.
This you could have your robot tongue lick it.
Yeah.
But also it could be used to, you know, soften up a warhead if it's a little too sour instead of running it underwater.
Yeah.
See? Multiple purposes. Probably the smartest one on this list so far.
Yeah. Not as smart as our next one, John. What do we have here?
I think this is a character from The Matrix, based off of the 90s sunglass style, just the shape of the ovals.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure these are armless sunglasses.
Yeah. So
looks like they attach to the nose bone via screw.
Yeah. I will say, I put this on this list just because this drawing here, to which my wife replied, good thing it's an audio podcast. And I was like, well... Luckily, John's going to describe it for us. But this dude is like, you're right, totally 90s. He's got like slicked back hair like Jonathan Taylor Thomas or something. And then he's got these frameless glasses. You're exactly right, John. Congratulations. But I still have to do my infomercial.
Yeah, please.
You have it. But tired of not looking like Morpheus from The Matrix? Try the brand new frameless glasses attaching to body. This is U.S. Patent 7066592B2, filed by John Rose in 2004. The application was granted in 2006. Again, this patent has expired because they didn't renew their dues.
Garrison said that this is probably monocle expired, but what's two for mono and then duo?
Jason Lee's got it there. It's bionicles.
Look at that.
You know, the Legos. Bionicles. I had a lot of these when I was a kid. You know what I'm talking about, John?
Yeah. Yeah, the little robot fighters.
Yeah, these things.
Robots in disguise.
No, that's right? Something else. So, again, I want to say this idea isn't totally stupid. Like, the way that this works is you get a little piercing. There's a nose stud that you get on the bridge of your nose. And then...
Wait, that's real. I thought it just clamped.
No, this is a little piercing.
Oh, it's a body horror. Okay.
Yep, you get a piercing, and then the two glass lens just magnetize to that stud, and you wouldn't need any frames for your lenses. Around 2000.
Wow, what a convenience. Just stick a screw through the bridge of my nose instead of putting arms on my tired ears.
I know. Wow. Garrison also called me out for my Jonathan Taylor Thomas reference.
Good.
Very timely. So around 2009, a couple people, James Soy and Oliver Gibson, were trying to find customers.
James Soyboy? What was his name?
James Soy.
Okay.
It's with two O's, though, so I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. I'm sorry about that. But they were trying to find customers for such a product. They found a few, but apparently not enough because their website domain expired in 2014. They didn't have any progress after the last update on their website was 2009. I went through archive.org to dig into their website, and they're no longer functional, which is sad. So,
wow.
Your dreams of being Morpheus are ruined, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a real bummer because, you know, I just thought that's if you wanted to go over to Stuart Gordon's pop-up shop and get some... He's the guy that did From Beyond and all those body horror movies. Yeah. Just to get a nice little screw through the bridge of your nose, uh-huh. Just to make it a little easier for magnetic. Although it would be really fun to slam your head down on the table.
And like pick up some paper clips, just come freak people out. Yeah.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, pick stuff up with your face.
Yeah, it'd be great.
You pick up coins from a pond.
Yeah, it'd be great, but not as great as our next invention, John. What is this that we're looking at?
Wow. Duo finger. It's like a double-sided finger.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what it is. It's a double-sided finger.
That is what it is. This is...
So if you want to give people a finger, you could hand one to them out of your little pocket. I assume they come in six packs, like a little cigarette card.
Yeah.
When you want to exert yourself.
I didn't even find this one from an article. I found this from Google image search and I was like, that is so ridiculous. It has to be on our episode. What do you think it's used for?
I think it's for when you're trying, you just got a new pair of nail clippers and you want to break them in, but you don't want to test them out on the real thing.
Yeah. You think so?
You know? Maybe you want to paint some nails.
Practice.
You don't want to do it on your own hands. Yeah.
John, you don't pick this product. This product picks you. It's the nose pick. U.S. Patent D430934S, filed by Charles E. Willard in 1998. The application was granted in 2000, and it expired in 2014. So again, anyone's game here. Go for it.
I like that it's double-sided, so you get to, you know, you get a little bit for everybody, both not.
And especially in the age of COVID, this seems like such a great idea. It's exactly as product states, what's the thing you say? As advertised. That's
yeah. I love that there's four figures for it. There's even one that shows the front view is an actual figure.
I'm so glad that you picked up on that because unfortunately the patent filing didn't have anything but this drawing and then four descriptions of each figure. And it was like, Figure one, lateral view of the nose pick. Figure two, side view of the above mentioned figure one. And I was like, it all the way down. But it does have this claim on there: the ornamental design for a nose pick as shown and described. That's the only thing on this patent size. And it wants to know if there's different size for every nostril. Well,
in Soviet Russia, finger picks you knows. Or something, right?
Yeah. Hannah says, as product states, this is why we don't live stream. People are correcting me. But
oh, good. Real-time ego slam. Job, guys. I do this professionally. I'm glad to have some backup.
Yeah.
I've got like a whole crew now, so we could just pick on you together.
Yeah. Or Jason says, or you could have this for using on fingerprint scanners when more than one person to be able to.
If you're a crime criminal.
Exactly.
Especially.
Yeah. When you can't put your finger on it, Garrison says. Guys, come on. You need to be putting these products out there. If the patents are open, you can put these on the market. Speaking of fingers, John, here's our next one. What's this thing look like?
Okay, so this is another person's hand. It's hard to draw a hand, you know? Hard to draw it.
Dude,
this
I know.
Did an okay job. And on one of their fingers, specifically their pointer, it looks like it switches over to their middle finger at times.
On figure three.
It has a key, like a scraper. Maybe it's for blowing bubbles when you don't want to exert the 2 calories it takes to hold the bubble wand. Yeah. It looks like it's scraping the thumb, though, which is very worrying.
Yeah. So what's your guess for this? What do you think this is?
I'm going to say it's a thumb scraper. although I don't know what that wand is on it, unless it's a tiny little shovel. If you want to just dig your fingers in, like maybe you want to get a little bit of your Dunkaroo frosting, but you ran out of crackers. You ran out of the actual graham crackers for it. So you just get your little finger shovel.
I'm so glad you went with Dunkaroos and not like a cocaine shovel or something.
Excuse you.
Well, John, how many times has this happened to you? Oh, man, I'm outside trying to enjoy this nice weather, but that dang mosquito keeps bothering me, but my feeble arms can't lift a fly swatter all by themselves. Well, give the finger-mounted insect dissuasion device and method of use a chance.
I love how it's just to dissuade them, like, hey.
Yeah.
Don't you come back here.
Yeah. There's a couple people that were pretty close. But this is U.S. patent 7484328B1, filed by John Richard Doherty in 2005. The application was granted in 2009. The patent is still active, so be on the lookout for these to be on the shelves soon, I hope. It's a fly swatter that goes on your finger. Like you said, it looks like a bubble wand or a shovel that attaches to the end of your finger. And the abstract for this patent points out that it is just a miniature fly swatter adapted to be fixed onto the end of a human finger.
Now, what's great is you could do some punches with this. If you get 5 of them each, maybe throw them in between your fingers too, like a little Wolverine action.
Yeah, that's
you
what
get accessorized and match your outfits.
Yeah, so you...
And Garrison says it could help Trump hold a glass of water.
I just saw that. That's really good. you put this little ring on your finger, and then it's a tiny fly swatter. You flick it. It's like the swatter is about the size of like your pinky nail or something like that. And then you flick your finger to quote-unquote dissuade or swat the insect.
Threaten is a word I use.
Yeah.
Now, this is another, again, we have to grow. Please go to StrangerSocialShow.com, share this with your friends, do all of that. So we could get a 3D printer and actually print some of this stuff someday and make
videos.
Absolutely,
yeah, once the patent expires in 2024. So here's a quote from the patent filing. During outdoor activities, one is often annoyed or distracted by an insect. For example, during static outdoor activities such as sun tanning or reading, a single fly will often persist in annoyance despite repeated attempts to discourage the insect. Such an insect persistently...
What? Knock it off!
Hey, man!
Discourage.
You're adopted! That wasn't nice. Such an insect persistently flies and lands on one's arm or leg, for example. Conventional fly swatters are cumbersome and, due to hygiene concerns, are not well suited for swatting oneself. Often one uses their hand, book, or other object to brush away and discourage the insect. Such attempts are most often ineffective since the insect simply flies away and returns to a different location. When a device of the present invention is attached, for example, onto an index finger, normal activities such as holding a book or drink container are unimpeded.
Now, Nicholas, just so you know that you're in the clear and we're not going to get a bunch of hate mail,
yeah.
I did look up flies can't be adopted. They don't have a system in place for adoptions. They're usually just birthed and they're on their own immediately.
Thank you for looking that up.
You're welcome.
So this, my favorite thing about this is that you can, the swatter, the wand and the swatter are detachable. So you can take off the rod and it resembles just a normal ring. You can wear it around and no one will be none the wiser. Fly shows up, you dig into your wallet, pull out your paddle, and you can swat that fly. The other cool
maybe
thing.
Maybe put a key in there, a knife, some other accessories.
You're on the right path. The patent suggests you can get a longer swatter. You can get lengths from 20 millimeters all the way up to 130 millimeters, which would be like half a foot. Yeah. But the best part is, I don't have any pictures here, but he lays out replaceable paddles. So you could get like a whip style configuration. You could get one with a ball on the end of it. You can get one with a spike on the end of it. There's one that has like a stiffer rod configuration. He has a novelty one that's in the shape of a human hand. There's a fork shape. There's even a butterfly net so you can just capture and release this dang thing. This guy really hates insects, and I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just digging in my bag here. I just wanted to show you my finger spatula.
Yeah.
Or when I want to flip a little pancake, you know, but I don't want to exert the whole force of my hand. It's nice and easy. Because instead of having to go like this,
that's so much effort, man. What are you talking about? Well,
what, this? You won't have to do this again. No. It'll protect your wrist.
I'm saying using your whole wrist? Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Or even two? I've got one of these. I used to have one that was double-handed, you know?
The nerve of some people.
Really get in there and flip a flap, you know?
Flip a flap. I got nothing.
Flip a flap,
I got to move on to the next one because I can't follow up your jokes. John, what's our next invention here?
Now, this one was one that I'll give a little bit of an Easter egg. You did give me a heads up to look at these last night, which I didn't do. But I did look at them today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one caught my excitement the most because
I just showed you the pictures. Let me be clear. I didn't tell you anything else about them.
Pictures. I knew nothing more, although it was my responsibility to educate you all on these.
Yeah.
This, my friend, is Underwater Dance Dance Revolution for dolphins.
Describe what we're seeing here.
What we're looking at here is a complete and extended Dance Dance Revolution board, complete with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, maybe 24, I'm going to ballpark, buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfectly placed for a bottlenose dolphin to bump its beak.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, let you know what's going on. Maybe we're looking for some, like, dolphins that want to befriend humans. And tell them where fish are, via
like bees.
Yeah, like yo, look, go down. Like in this picture specifically, he's pointing to that little down arrow. Like a little lower, bro. There's some trout.
Interesting, interesting. Well,
and you do the Capcom code.
That's true, and you get infinite lives, and then this dolphin lives forever. Yeah, Konami code.
That's how it works. Thank you.
Well, John, tired of feeling like life has no porpoise? Well, have you tried talking to one? Now you can with the Marine Mammal Communication Device. This is U.S. Patent 5392735A, filed by a group of people under the Walt Disney Corporation in 1992. Wow. Right? Garrison thought it was an underwater calculator. You're not far off. It's pretty close. The application was granted in 1995. Unfortunately, this one expired. I don't think that Disney wants to use this. This one is incredibly straightforward. What it is a set of two keyboards. There's one keyboard for a dolphin and one keyboard for a human. And one of those, the one for the dolphin is obviously ginormous here. It can be made up of different keys. It looks like they're like maybe a foot in diameter. They also outline how you could use 3D objects as a key, or you could also use photo sensors. So the dolphin doesn't have to actually push or touch anything. They just put their nose.
It looks like an old flip phone without the top half, just the dial pad.
Yeah.
Turn sideways underwater.
Yeah.
And I assume that it will be modernized because this is in 1992, but it would be great for a dolphin to say, LOL, it's lit.
Do some maybe emojis. Yeah.
Emojis for goofs.
Yeah, you know? And then the dolphin would dab because kids still do that, right?
Control Derby at that button.
Gotcha. Okay. So when the dolphin presses one of the keys or gets their nose near it or whatever, the computer then provides audible feedback to a human on the other end using a speaker, which just means that it would say a word or a phrase. The human then can press a key on their end, and it will generate a spoken word or phrase to communicate with the dolphin. Unfortunately, they didn't get very specific. I don't think they figured that part out. I assume that they mean that it would just, like, speak normal human words, because, like, you can train a dolphin to human words. But if all they're doing is pointing their nose at a picture, why couldn't you just get, like, a big poster board and draw on it, and then they can point their nose at that? Why do you have to have all this, like, a boat with this giant...
Why would you not want it to go to your smartphone, Nicholas?
I guess you're right.
First of all, think of the OK Go video.
My daughter would be so into that. They point out, though, that, like, this is supposed to be used by dolphin trainers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, if they're already teaching them to use human words, why do they need a speaker that they push a button to activate to teach the dolphin when they could just be standing there teaching the dolphin?
I don't know, Nick. Have you had a conversation underwater?
No, I guess that's you're right. The one thing that they do outline on here that I think could actually be useful is that they would have a microphone under the water so that when the human pushes a button or the dolphin pushes a button, they can record the dolphin's response and get dolphin's audio feedback, and then they can use that later on.
And that I've actually used before. When I was in a band, we filmed a music video underwater, which is, like, always a dream of mine as, like, a little kid. It wasn't even a suggestion I had made, but the director for a song called Things You Do, we went into a pool at a YMCA, and they had this underwater speaker that works basically off of vibrations, and it sounds really tinny, like there's no bass. It's just like, but you can hear everything pretty clearly underwater. It was really cool.
Yeah. On that music video, I remember that you gave away the waterlogged guitar to a fan.
Yes. We shipped it to Canada.
Yeah.
That was a fun thing. Yeah. And then we tried to return some of the other instruments that we rented. But those weren't underwater at any point, I don't think.
Oh.
We went to a guitar center, bought guitars and drums and stuff, and then returned them afterwards.
Oh. Waterlogged?
No.
Oh, never mind then.
We had towels.
So Garrison points out...
No, that was for the diving scene. That was a different part of the shoot.
Oh, gotcha. Garrison points out that we can communicate with snorks, which, if you want to know my opinion on snorks, go listen to my limited cell episode. Jason says that the answer to some of our questions could be that the patent creator doesn't know, but they predict that someone in the future might make something that infringes on it, and they can make money from it. Next up, John, is our last one, and it's my favorite. I saved it for last for a reason.
Oh, man. Okay, so we've got a pipe.
Okay.
And it's got a little thing in the middle.
Okay.
That says time remaining very ominously. And it's going to be measuring whatever's going through this pipe, I assume.
Okay. Interesting.
Looks like a water meter counter type deal.
Is that what you think this is a patent for? A thing that actually exists?
Now, here's the problem. You said that this is your favorite one, so there's no way that this is measuring water. Now,
unless I'm really lame.
It could be something... that could not be a pipe. It could be a clock that's measuring something else. It does have a run and stop up and down like a timer, and then time remaining. I'm gonna say you put this on your neck and it tells you how many days you have left to live and how much food you can swallow.
You are so close for absolutely the wrong reasons.
Maybe put it on your blood vessel. Is that a blood vessel?
No. So, John, tired of feeling like life has no purpose? Well, now you can be reminded of your impending demise every second of every day by using that to put a little pep in your step. Introducing the Life Expectancy Timepiece. This is U.S. Patent 5031161A. The status is expired. They didn't renew their dues on it.
Oh boy, hop on this one.
And
what's our Patreon?
Yeah. This is a watch that you program in things. So what you described as a pipe is a watch band, and then what you described as a meter is just the watch face. It's got like five little segments on it that you can use for that display years, I think days, hours, minutes, and seconds you can expect left on this mortal coil.
So this is just a watch. It's not actually measuring between two things. You just wear this on your wrist and say, I guess I will see that extra movie.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Yeah, now you're getting it.
Okay.
So it's like a Fitbit with the extra existential dread.
You know what? Make those fries medium.
Yeah, screw it. So yeah, you plug in things like weight, age, pre-existing conditions, and it uses an algorithm to display
and
how many
vicinity to a bus.
Yeah, how many buses there are in your city, how often you go on walks near these buses. It's very bus centric.
Yeah,
I never noticed that until you said something.
Right.
But here's some quotes from the patent article. Heretofore, there has been no way of automatically monitoring one's own life expectancy based on factors such as actuarial tables, contemporaneous events, and heredity. Wow, that was the easiest one to say, and I couldn't even say it. More precisely, it would be advantageous to predict a person's life expectancy based on factors including health-related activities such as consuming fatty foods, overeating, stress, jogging, exercising, etc. It would also be advantageous to provide a timepiece that would allow one to be apprised of the probable time remaining in one's life. It would also be advantageous to monitor the probable remaining time left in one's life on a yearly, hourly, and even seconds basis.
Advantageous, you say?
Yes.
Okay, you first.
Garrison put forth the idea of a rectal thermometer for lifespan. Or you could hand this out to kids at the premiere of the next Final Destination movie.
Yeah. Or just the experiencing Final Destination. That'd be, it'll let you know when you could go for bathroom breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like Run Pee, except for when you're going to die. So on the face of this watch, like I said, there's five segments that can be either LED or LCD. The patent specifies counts down years to seconds in those increments. There's also four buttons on the front that you can use to program things like your health conditions by assigning it a numerical value. There's also a speaker provided to generate an audible signal as a reminder that time is passing. You could fill it with things like how old your mother and father are or were when they passed, marital status, where you live, like a big city or a small town or rural area, your income, your normal level of exercise.
What's weird is as soon as you book a trip to Camp Crystal Lake, your timer goes down substantially.
Yeah, inexplicably. It's GPS enabled now. We got to modernize this. You can also plug in your general disposition. If you're just normally grumpy, you can put that in there. If you're happy, you put that in there.
If you want to look on the positives of this, think about how stoked you'd be every time you eat a little bite of spinach, watching those hours tick on up. You know?
Yeah, seeing those extra seconds get on there.
30 years.
Your mom wants to know if the inventor is still alive and if they are accurate. I'm going to Google them. And I don't know. They don't.
Yeah, and it counts for daylight savings too.
So you can also put in how much you drink or smoke, of course, how often you go to the doctor, and how easily you get sick. So have fun wearing that to parties.
Or, you know, maybe trying to win a date by lowering it down to a few hours. What a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. Look, man, reset the programming on the memory and stuff. So you could just be like, hey, man,
I got like five hours left, and I gotta see what do you call it? Hold on,
I am very curious where you're going with this, because we were talking
about
dates.
Trolls really... World Tour.
Oh, thank God,
for free.
Thought you were gonna see some,
or at least at a 20% discount.
Yeah,
look at the clock. Thank you.
It's like a senior discount, but for how much time you have remaining.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't there a movie with like Justin Timberlake
where this happened? Yeah.
Where they pay for stuff with time on their life or something?
There was a Flophouse episode they did on something with this. I forget what it was called. It was a cool concept. Like you could pay for like your bus ticket and stuff with time, and like all the rich people had like hundreds of years.
Yeah. I wasn't listening because Garrison posted, "You'll be the life of the party," and I just thought that was too funny. So, John, In Time is the name of that movie for everyone shouting at their screen right now. Or their audio listening device. But John, that's the last invention that I have.
I'd like to congratulate myself for all the hard work that I did to put this together.
Mm-hmm.
mentally when I looked at the PowerPoint presentation that you threw together and came up with flawless explanations for all of them. Mm-hmm. I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you got like half of them right.
I think I got all of them right, if you think about it. And it's recorded.
Sorry, you got all of them
100% right.
I wasn't going to finish the sentence. Which one was your favorite, John?
I like the DDR for dolphins. I'm also a big fan of the stamp liquor, just for, you know, when those warheads are a little too spicy for you.
It's funny you say that. We used to run them under the faucet to get all the sour coating off of warheads.
That's embarrassing.
I know. I'm aware.
I mean, I did that too, but I don't say it out loud.
People in chat, what was your favorite? Let us know. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back. I don't think we have anything for closing, do we?
Just to encourage fellas and fellettes and all human beings that are entertained and watching to share, because life's awful. And I think if you made your life any less awful, it would be very beneficial for you to share it with other freak people. How's that for a sales pitch?
Just everyone, go to your local store, pick up a life expectancy timepiece, and be reminded that we only have a few hours, maybe seconds, left on this earth. And I would,
unless you hit the built-in stop button, but go on.
Yeah, you could get a subscription service to make it to increase your life expectancy. That's how they get you, just like Quip again. But what I was going to say before you interrupted my my cute closing was that thank you for choosing to spend your few remaining moments with us. It means a lot to us. And you can show how much you care about us by going to iTunes or wherever you're listening to this and leaving a review. That's all I got.
Okay. And StrangerSoulShow.com, which we should redo after this at some point.
Yeah. Jason Lee said, guys, my life expectancy clock is flashing all zeros. Should I be worried? I'm glad he hit enter before he perished. Otherwise, we wouldn't know how that ended.
And speaking of ending, I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.